Let us pray. O God, our great companion, lead us by day, deeper into the mystery of thy life and ours, and make us interpreters of life to our fellows. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, we celebrated the feast of all feasts, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Today's gospel reading takes place in what is most likely the upper room where Jesus and his apostles met just a few days earlier. The apostles were there and most likely were talking about what Mary had said earlier in the day. Mary ran to Peter and John and told them what had taken place, that Jesus had said to call her name from his tomb. The doors were locked because they were in fear of losing their lives by the hands of the Jewish officials. Suddenly, Jesus appears to the group and says, Shalom, which means peace be with you. Shalom is and was a familiar greeting for the Jews. The word is richer in notion of the word peace, meaning of mere absence of stress. Looking back to that Thursday night, when Jesus told the apostles in John 13, verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Returning to that first Easter in the upper room again, Jesus breathes on them and gave them the Holy Spirit so they can carry out their mission that he prayed to his Father in the garden in John 17, verse 18, where he said, as ye sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. The mission Jesus had taught his apostles was about to begin. Jesus tells the apostles in John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. These words echoed what he said when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his Father. As the Father has sent Jesus, Jesus sent his apostles. The apostles sent the disciples, and those disciples are sending us. Jesus sends us through his disciples. The fruit of his resurrection is the community of Christians that are bound together by their common participation in the Holy Spirit and are sent forth in the world together to gather other sheep from all over the world. We here at St. Andrew's are part of the fruit and sheep being gathered. As Christians, we too are to help gather those missing sheep. John's gospel had made a complete circle now. His opening verses in chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now Thomas's response to Jesus, when Jesus showed him his hands and side, were in verse 28, my Lord and my God. The main point of this section in chapter 20 is the nature of faith. There are four characteristics of faith. The first is in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where we read where Jesus was asked by a man to heal his son. Men said to Jesus in Mark 9, verse 22, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus then replied in verse 23, if you can. The Father then cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. This cry has been heard from ages past until today. Faith is a constant battle for people. At times it can be very agonizing. There are four aspects of faith that are concentrated at the end of chapter 20. The first one we find there can be conflict of faith with what one believes. I mentioned this earlier when the man asked Jesus to heal his son, and the man cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. With this man, faith was a battle with his unbelief, and that at times can be very agonizing and painful. This type of pain can be relieved by surrounding ourselves with other Christians and attending church on Sundays and other occasions. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20, that he would be with us whenever there are two or three gathered together in his name. Another conflict can be where something happens that defies everything we have known or believed. The second is the assurance of faith, which was illustrated by Thomas when his doubts were overcome and became a great believer and spread the gospel to India and started the church there. The third is the glory of faith. Thomas's faith was the keystone on the arch of truth that John's gospel proclaimed. We are blessed that as mortal and sinful people, we can give glory to God, our Father, by trusting his Son, Jesus, by proclaiming Jesus as Lord and God. The last aspect is that of our invitation to faith. John's gospel invites us and everyone else who reads or has read his gospel to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was our sacrificial lamb. He died for our sins. The Jews offered up lambs to the temple priests to be sacrificed for their sins. Belief is a gift from God. John knew this full well. William Barclay in his commentary wrote in his interpretation of John, verse 29, chapter 20, Jesus said to him, "Thomas, you needed eyes of sight to make you believe, but the days will come when men will see with the eye of faith and believe." Thomas made the mistake of withdrawing from the apostles and mourned the death of Jesus alone, who is very grief-stricken. Grieving alone is a very difficult thing for a person to do. Had he been with the apostles, he would have seen Jesus a week sooner on the evening of the first Easter. The whole point of John writing his gospel was to give us a record of the signs Jesus did and his sacrificial death for us, his ultimate resurrection, which assures us of everlasting life. These were written and given to us so that we may believe. Faith comes to people in different ways too. The beloved disciple John believed Jesus was alive when he saw the empty tomb. Mary believed when Jesus called her by name. The other disciples believed when they saw Jesus in the upper room after his resurrection. Thomas had to see and touch Jesus for him to believe. Those needs disappeared once they saw Jesus. The gospel is telling us that people have different needs and find various routes to faith. One thing we should remember is that Thomas at first believed, then lost his faith, but came back with an even stronger faith. John's gospel can be said to be his version of the Great Commission found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the ages." Thomas wasn't with the apostles when Jesus made his appearance in the upper room. If he had been there, he most likely would have believed right off. The point I want to make here is that we need each other as firm believers for us to have our faith reinforced. Those people who came after the ascension, it may have been hard for them to believe. For them, faith would and will come from the gospel by hearing it through Jesus' apostolic messengers. We are those messengers. Having a life in a Christian church is being in community with others, with our faith believing. Hearing the gospel preached and read, receiving the sacraments of the church, including the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Eucharist. There are still skeptics out there, and for them, pastoral care is needed. That can come from clergy and the people sitting in the pew. How can faith and hope be restored in the modern era, where so many in society are dead set against the church today? This is what we are told anyway. There are many lapsed, so to speak, Christians that have stopped attending church. So how do we reach them? Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed as most justly due all might, majesty, dominion, and glory, world without end. Amen.